Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Hey, good morning. No one's called me Pastor Fred in 25 years. Yeah. So we love Lighthouse Christian Church, and the first time that we came, I told my wife, I said, Pastor Kevin needs a bigger building, and that was like, I don't know, 6 months ago. Yeah. All right, so we started a series about 4 weeks ago on Mission Accomplished. The first message was Mission Relationships. Then we did Mission Generosity. Then we did Mission Evangelism, and then today we're going to do Mission Submission. And I know that's probably not the most popular topic, but it's not what you're going to think it is. So if you'll just stay with me, you'll be blessed. I promise you that. At least I hope I can promise you that. You'll be blessed. So with that, let's go to our scripture. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man also under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Let's pray. Father, we commit ourselves today. We make room for you today. We ask, God, that you would bless our time together, that you would help me to articulate the truths found in your word, that I'd communicate them clearly and effectively, and that we would be blessed as a result of it. So, Father, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen. Amen.
So today we're going to do five things. We're going to define submission. We're going to come up with a definition, one that God gave me. We're going to look at some examples. Then we're going to look at our text. We're going to look at some mission statements. We're going to talk about some practical application. And then I'm going to end with a story. Okay, so we're going to end with a story. I'm going to start with a story. So the first story I'm going to start with is probably the biggest time that I really learned to trust the peace of God. You know, the Bible says to trust, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Act like an arbitrator. Act like a mediator in your heart to know what to do right and wrong, right? And I learned in this lesson, it was kind of like a gut punch. And how many know that sometimes the hardest lessons you learn are the ones you remember the most, right? We've heard my wife's broken arm story I don't know how many times, but we just... It was traumatic to her, and she remembers it, and those kind of stories stay with us the longest. Well, this is one that stayed with me for a very long time. I'm going to share it with you, and it's my dune buggy story. So we were young pastors in Cocoa Beach, and we were pastoring at the 4th Street Church down in Cocoa Beach, and I was working at FIT Aviation as an airframe and power plant mechanic, and one of the guys I worked with had the fiberglass frame to a dune buggy, or the fiberglass shell of a dune buggy. And man, I wanted that thing. I really did. It just kind of leapt in my heart. It's like, man, that would be so cool to have. I'm pastoring in Cocoa Beach. I want to be the coolest pastor in Cocoa Beach, you know. I'll drive this dune buggy around. I'm going to get a custom license plate that says pastor. And I'm just going to be cool. You know what I mean? I'm going to be the cool pastor in Cocoa Beach. And I wanted this thing. And it was just the fiberglass shell with the hood and the trunk. And the guy was selling it for $350. And he was leaving in 2 weeks to go to Alaska to work on the Alaskan pipeline back in the mid-80s. So I pray about it, and God says no. And it was so clear that he said no, it was like the peace just left me. It was like taking off a jacket, it just left me. And then, you know, I was like, okay, all right, wrestling, struggling with that a little bit. A couple days go by, and so, you know, what do you do? Well, I asked Debbie, what do you think? You know, like a good wife, she says no. No, you're not getting this dune buggy, you know. What are you thinking? Now, we were broke, but we had a little bit of tax money left over and income tax money left over, and I'm thinking, oh, that would be so cool, and I'm struggling, and I'm wrestling with God, and, you know, a couple more days go by, and I'd go to work, and I'd ask the guy, do you still have it? Has it sold yet? No, I still got it. So now he's about a week before he's leaving to go to Alaska, and I'm feeling the pressure because he's going to leave, and I'm not going to be able to get this dune buggy, but I still haven't convinced God to give it to me, you know? So now, you know, I'm still asking Debbie, can I get this dune buggy? And her answer is still no. And so now, you know, I do what every guy does. I take the checkbook to work. And I've taken the checkbook to work because I'm thinking at some point God's going to change his mind and I'm going to be able to write that check, you know what I mean, and get that dune buggy. Well, God never changed his mind. Every time I'd think about it, the peace of God, it was so real, the peace of God would just leave me and I wouldn't get it back until I just kind of resolved the conflict in my heart. Okay, I'm not going to get it. Well, I did the guy thing, and I didn't listen to God, and I wrote the check, and I bought it. And then I had to buy a frame, a Volkswagen frame, and that was $200, so now I have $550 invested, and I have the pieces of this fiberglass frame in my yard. I have the dune buggy, or the Volkswagen frame sitting in the yard, all disassembled. I don't even know if it had tires or a motor or a transmission. I can't remember. And all in pieces, still just knowing that I had stepped outside of the will of God, that I had not listened and that I had not really submitted my desires to God's desires. Are you all with me? Well, I was driving a motorcycle to work to save gas because we were broke. And within a day or two or maybe even a week, I'm on my motorcycle pulling out of the house onto A1A, and I look down the road, I'm turning right, and within 100 feet, honest to God, within 100 feet was a fully assembled dune buggy for sale for $500 with a roof. Mine didn't have a roof. It never had a roof. And it wasn't that cool to drive because when it rained, the whole thing would flood. All the seats would get wet. We didn't have a carport or a garage. We had just Christopher at the time, a little baby. She would drive it. You know, I'd drive the motorcycle. That was our family car, the dune buggy. And she would drive it, and it would rain in the afternoon in Florida. So she'd drive with a tarp over her and the baby. Sometimes she'd pull underneath a carport to get out of the rain. But that, honest, right? Yeah, she was, yeah, why did you marry me? I don't know. And I didn't know this at the time, but I had to cut that Volkswagen frame. I had to cut a foot out of it, weld it all back together. I had to do all the brake lines and throttle cables and clutch lines and all the electric, and I'd get so mad because I knew God wasn't in this thing, right? I'd get so mad. I'm trying to figure out all the electrical, the high beams, the low beams, the brake lights, the turn signals. And I'd come in and I'd throw a tool. You know, it's like, I'm never going to figure this out. you know, God's not in this. And my wife would say, you know, honey, it's okay. You're going to figure it out. God will help you. And it was like, why did you give me such a godly wife? You know, what she could have said, it would have made me feel better. You know, you shouldn't have bought it. And this is what you get. But no, she didn't say that. Every time I'd get frustrated, she'd say, you'll figure it out. It was like, another one, another really traumatic, gut-wrenching life lesson of submitting to God and to his plan. And I learned a couple of things. One, because God did really want me to be the coolest pastor in Cocoa Beach, but just and have a dune buggy, just not that one. He wanted me to have the one with the roof and with a windshield, okay? So we're going to talk about submitting ourselves to God. So God gave me this definition and submitting ourselves to God. So what is submission? We don't like it. It's kind of got a negative term. I've performed weddings where they ask that word to be taken out of the vows. We're just going to talk about what it's like to submit and be in submission. So God gave me this definition. I'm military, and I'm going to use this as a prop. Mission, and they realized in the first service I spelled it wrong. So I should have submitted to my wife for proofreading, but you get the idea. So what's submission? Well, it's mission with the prefix sub or under the mission, right? Like a submarine. So really, that's a liberating definition for me because I make a choice to submit. How many military folk do we have in here today? Retired, veterans? Thank you. We know what it's like to take orders. We know what it's like to have a mission and to follow through on a mission, right? We know what it's like. And we come underneath the mission of God. So to be under someone's mission or to be under the mission of God. Let me give you some examples, and then I'll put my umbrella away for a second. All right, so let's look at some examples. Here it is in the life of Christ. John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus says, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. You tracking? Right? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. And he says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. I pray that almost every day, probably a dozen times. I pray, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come in my life, in Debbie's life, in the life of my children, in the life of my grandchildren. I want us to be under the mission of God. I want to be under his mission. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the Luke chapter 22, verse 42, he's praying, and he says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You guys catching it? All right? You're picking up what I'm throwing or picking up what I'm laying down? Okay. How about in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16? Ruth says, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Now, before I put my prop away, let's look at a couple of mission statements. Think of this great mission statements. In the military, we put a lot of importance on our mission statements. We have, you know, the Marines, the Air Force, the Army, they all have mission statements. All the squadrons, wings, they all have mission statements. We'll do off-sites, we'll come up with mission statements. And it's very important so that everyone understands and it's clear. Listen to this one in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You guys get tracking? You getting it? All right. So we've defined it. We've looked at some examples. The church has a mission statement. Embracing God, encouraging others. Do we have that? Embracing God, or experience God, embrace grace, engaging others. And then we also have a mission of trying to debt-free in 23. Wouldn't that be cool if just 140 of us wrote a check and we got rid of all that? I'll just put that out there. That'd be so cool. All right. Now, let's go back to our text. When we talk about submission and being under the mission, we're going to shift gears just a little bit and talk about how it applies to faith and how it's going to help you in your prayer life and how, well, you'll see. You'll see. So let's look at our text again, okay? Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man, listen, under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." Look at this. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Now, you could read that passage of Scripture and just pass over it and just think really nothing of it. But I want you to think of how important it is of what Jesus said. He said, "I have not found such great faith in all of Israel." This guy was a Roman centurion. And yet he said, he had great faith. "I've not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel." And what did he understand about faith? Now, we could look at that passage of Scripture and say, well, it's about the authority of Christ and his word. All he has to do is speak a word. But I think what the centurion understood is he understood what submitted to the word. Because if I say go, that servant goes. If I say come, that servant comes. Right? So what submitted to God's word? What's submitted to God's word? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Right? Jesus sent out the disciples. Oh no, Jesus is in the boat and the storms come in Matthew 8. And he calms the storm, right? He rebukes the wind and the waves. And the disciples said, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So what obeys the word of God? The wind and the seas, right? Sickness. Jesus rose again from the dead and has the keys of death, hell, and the grave, right? What is in submission to the will of God, right? What's under his authority? I think that's what the centurion figured out. I think he knew that all you had to do is speak the word, because he understood the concept of authority and what submits to that authority. And then whatever submits to that authority has to do what the authority says. Y'all tracking what I'm saying? Is that too hard? Was that, y'all getting it? Okay. Now, do you remember the scripture where Jesus says, all it takes is the faith of a grain of mustard seed, and you could say to this mountain, "Be thou removed into the sea," and it would be removed into the sea? How many remember that? Know that scripture? Right? Let me flip that. What if you knew the mountain would get flipped into the sea? That the mountain would listen to you. How much faith would you need? A mustard seed? Right? So it's changed. When I understood this, it changed how I prayed. Just recently, we were in Missouri for about 10 days. And when we're in Missouri, we see all kinds of wildlife. We see groundhogs and squirrels and deer and all kinds of things. And we brought my daughter Deborah with us. And we were there on the last day and had not seen any deer. We had seen everything else, but had not seen any deer. We usually see quite a few. So we're driving home last night, heading to the condo, and Deborah's still talking about that we hadn't seen any deer. I promised deer. So under my breath, you know, while I'm driving, how I prayed was, let me take that back. How I didn't pray was this. God, Deborah's a good girl. She deserves to see deer. Please, can she see deer? I didn't pray that way. How I prayed was, and she is a good girl, how I prayed was, Father, Deborah's going to see deer, isn't she? Guess what? Within a minute, she screams, deer! I'm not making that up. And then right after that, she saw six more, right? A couple weeks ago, I've been trying to get back in shape. My knee was bothering me. Pastor Kevin had a word of knowledge about someone's right knee. And prayed, you know, I received it. But how I had been praying was, my knee is going to serve the mission of God. My job is going to serve the mission of God. My position is going to serve the mission of God. Okay? When I go to work, I want to serve the purposes of God. In Acts chapter 13, verse 36, one of my favorite scriptures says, David, after he had served the purposes of God, fell on sleep. That's how I want to be. I want to serve the mission, the purposes of God, not end up in some nursing home, just fall on sleep after I've served the purposes of God. So that's how I pray. I pray for my family, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in their lives on earth as it is in heaven. My knee will serve the purposes of God. My hands will serve the purposes of God. My money will serve the purposes of God. My career will serve the purposes of God. Okay? So, let's finish with one more story. As we submit ourselves to God, as we come under his mission, as we place ourselves at his hand, as we yield to him, trusting the peace of God that's in our hearts to follow him and his will because he knows what's best for us. Can the clay say to the potter, why have you formed me? Amen? Most of the time, my struggle and conflict is when I'm struggling and struggling with what God's call is for me, God's mission for me. And then I have to come back underneath and say, this is what I need to do. I need to follow God and trust him and trust his mission for me. Years ago, when we were young and crazy and really zealous, we did all kinds of crazy things evangelistically. We carried a cross down the beach. We had the bus. We lived in that house. We had a dune buggy. We did all kinds of crazy things. And one of the things that we did is we were involved in the pro-life movement. You know, we had nine kids, so, you know. Yeah. So we were pro-life, and we also were pro, but, you know. Okay. So, and we had never been arrested, but we were one of those people that stood in front of the abortion clinics and would pass out tracts and talk, you know, try to persuade people to choose life, you know, in a very godly, you know, Christian, gentle way. And I really felt one day that I was supposed to go stand on an intersection, like on US 1, and pass out some pro-life material. So I had a couple of people from the church come with me, and we all took an intersection. And I probably grabbed a couple hundred tracts, and I stood out in front of there, and when the light would turn red, I'd go down and I'd pass out some material. Light would turn green, I'd go back to the front. And I did that for about an hour, hour and a half. And I'll just be honest with you, after an hour, hour and a half, I was getting a little nervous. People are passionate. No matter what side you're on, the issue, and not sure how passionate people are and how they're going to respond to you, right, when you talk to them about it or approach their vehicle. And I'll just be honest, I was scared, you know. I was intimidated, and I really just could not wait to be done with my pile of tracks. And so I was at the red light. I counted them. I had nine left. And the light turned green. I went down the row, and I passed out some tracks. I came back when the light turned green, came back to my spot, and I counted them again. thinking, just one or two more lights, I'm done, and I can go home for the day. I counted them again, and there was 9. I thought, well, maybe I overstuffed. Maybe I miscounted. Maybe one was inside another one. Light turns red. I pass out some tracks, come back to the spot when it turns green again. I count them again. There's 9. I'm like, this is just a coincidence. I got to try this one more time, you know, because this is just a coincidence. So light turns red. I go down the line. I pass out some more. Come back, light turns green, come back to my spot. I count them, and there's 9. And then it hits me like a light bulb going off. And God, if you want me to stay here.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.